This morning we'd like to draw your attention to 2 Chronicles chapter 33, beginning with verse 12. The story of Manasseh, who had been carried away to Babylon because of the great evil that he had done, the apostasy that he had led. And we read, "And when he was in affliction, he sought the Lord his God, humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He prayed unto him, and the Lord was entreated of him, heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that Yahweh was God." Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, was a very spiritual man, a very godly king. Under his reign, there were tremendous spiritual reforms. The false gods were destroyed. The people were brought again to the worship of the true and the living God. The nation prospered, was blessed. When Hezekiah was an older man, he was sick. The prophet of God came to him and said, "Set your house in order. You're going to die and not live." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, began to pray, begged God for an extension of his life. And so the Lord promised him an extra 15 years. 3 years after this close brush with death, Hezekiah's wife bore a son who they called Manasseh. He was only 12 years old when his father died, and he became the king over Judah. And in the second verse, it sort of gives to us the summary of his reign. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. This fellow was as wicked as they come. Before the children of Israel came into the land was inhabited by the Canaanites. And different groups of Canaanites. But their religious practices were horribly abominable. Their practices were self-destructive. To continue in their practices would bring an extinction of the people. There are certain things that man can do that can guarantee his extinction. These people were doing those things. A total sexual freedom. No family bonds or ties. Living as animals. This total sexual licentiousness led to many unwanted children who in turn were sacrificed as living sacrifices to their various pagan gods. In unearthing the houses of the Canaanite people, the archaeologists have found this skeletons of little babies in jars that were embedded into the wall of the house. When a person would build a house, they would always take a live baby, encase it in a jar, put it in the wall to guarantee good luck for the inhabitants of the house. They would throw their babies into the bonfires. Unwanted, they would get rid of them. The diseases were rampant. The sexual diseases were rampant. These nations would soon have destroyed themselves had God not sent Israel in to destroy them. Because their practices were so abominably vile, God ordered them completely exterminated, lest they infect his people with their same deadly disease. But now here is a king who is just as vile as those heathen that dwelt in the land before God gave it to Israel. In recounting for us the evil of Manasseh, verse 3 tells us that he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. Hezekiah had instituted a spiritual reform following Ahaz, the wicked king. He had broken down these places of the worship of their heathen false gods. But now we find him undoing the work of his father, turning right around and building again these same high places that his father had destroyed. In these high places, he began to put the images of Baal, made them places where the people would worship this pagan god. It said he made groves. The word groves is the Hebrew word asherim, which were pornographic little idols of the female goddess Ashtoreth. And they had pornographic idols of men and women that they would set in front of the house of Ashtoreth. And the worship of Ashtoreth was that of group sexual experiences, where anything went, anything goes. Sex orgies. And thus, the king bringing in the pornography, inflaming the passions of the people, led them into these sexual orgies. It said he worshiped the host of heaven and served them. The host of heaven being a reference to the stars and the constellations, the planets or the zodiac. Serving them would indicate that he was following the suggestions of those who would pretend that the stars and the planets in their particular position in the sky have some kind of a mysterious power over us and over our activities. He built altars in the house of the Lord. Verse 7 tells us that within the Holy of Holies he had taken out the Ark of the Covenant and put in a pagan idol. Total blasphemy against God. He built the altars for all the hosts of heaven and placed them in the two courts. In the temple, there was the inner and the outer court, and there he established the signs of the zodiac. And then it says he sacrificed his children to the fires in the valley of Hinnom. Again, we see that this is always the natural progress. When people are given over to pornography, they then are given themselves, they then give themselves over to sexual indulgences, perverted sexual practices. And that ultimately leads to unwanted children. And so in those days, the unwanted children were, as a general rule, sacrificed in the fires to the god Molech. It became a part of their worship and their worship ritual. As there in the Valley of Hinnom, they would build these huge bonfires. Then they'd place the little iron gods in the midst of the fires until they were glowing red hot, and then the mothers or the fathers would take their little infants and lay them on the arms where they would be burned to death. And as the babies would begin to scream and the pain and all of the fire, the people themselves would dance in a fervorish manner, screaming also to cover the screams and the cries of the child until the child was consumed in the fires. It is a terrible thing when man takes God's gifts and perverts them. God has given to us that glorious capacity of being able to create life. He intended that sex be a beautiful, sacred experience between one man and one woman who had committed themselves unto each other for life in a pact and bond of love and marriage. The Lord said, "For this cause a man shall leave his mother and father and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh." And it is through the sex act that the man and the woman become one flesh. And the product of that, of course, is the one flesh in the child that is born. So that you look at your child and you realize that's half me and that's half my wife. 23 chromosomes from me, 23 chromosomes from my wife. That it's one. We are one in that child. It represents the unity of my wife and I. It's a composite of both of us. Now, I know there are times when I say, "Well, that's my wife's son." But there are also times when I say, "That's my son." And you know which times they are. God has ordained that through this experience, there might be the closest bond and intimacy that man can experience on the human level. And that from that love and intimacy, new life may come. And God designed the urges and the impulses and the drives, the sex drives, in order that there might be the perpetuation of the human race. And if we didn't have these God-given drives, we wouldn't be here today. Adam would have gone fishing, and that would have been the end of the story. But God created for his purposes that there might be that beautiful intimacy and love as the two become one in commitment to each other. And any other use or abuse is a perversion of God's plan. And it leads to disastrous consequences. It leads to unwanted pregnancies. And I don't know if it does anything to you, but it disturbs me deeply that in our lifetime, 20 million babies in the United States have been offered on the fires to the god Molech. Unwanted pregnancies that were destroyed because we had given ourselves over to the worship of Asherim and Ashereth. Such was the case of Manasseh, leading the people into these abominable practices. It says also that he observed times and used enchantments. The observing of time would be to direct his calendar according to the stars and the influences that the stars may have over him on a particular date, or the casting of a horoscope. The use of enchantments was the lucky charms, the crystals, the pyramids. We call it New Age. Foolish. Read your history. Nothing new about it. Been doing this stuff from the beginning. The use of crystals and pyramids, and because of some supposed mystic power that the pyramid has. So you put your razor blades under the pyramid and it'll sharpen your blades, and mystic powers, you know, that we don't understand. And the mystic power of a crystal, you carry it around, you know, and people are looking for some kind of non-reasoned religious experience, some power that they can tap into that they don't have to be committed to. They think they don't have to be committed to. But let me tell you something. Whenever you begin to delve and to dabble with these powers, you become committed to them because they take hold on your life and you become the slave. You come under their power. Also, we are told that he used witchcraft and he dealt with familiar spirits. That is, he learned how to tap into that spirit realm, and he received a spirit guide. And more today we are reading of these people who are learning to tap into the spirit world and are finding the spirit guide. As you get into this altered state of consciousness, the first thing that you see move is your spirit guide, and you learn to seek direction from this spirit guide. You learn how to ask them where to go, what to do, and they begin to guide your life. They guide the writings of a lot of the authors and all, the spirit guides. Channeling. They were into that channeling, where these spirits would speak and direct them and tell them things, mysteries, and there was that power that they were trying to tap into, that source of power, even as people are today in this New Age movement. Notice the progression. We've got nothing new today. These are the same abominable practices that destroyed nation after nation in history. They have their own consequence built in. And it is rather frightening in watching the progression of the thing. When it comes to the place where people have turned away from God and the power of God, and they begin to seek the power of darkness, they refuse the counsel of God, the law of God, the word of God, and they look for guidance to the stars or to the channelers or to the spirit guides, or they look to the power of the crystal or the power of the pyramid. Those are the final depths of depravity to which man goes prior to his destruction. And it should concern us and alarm us as Christians as you get into some of the New Age books and you read how people are seeking to tap into these powers today. And you have all kinds of book on the power of crystals and the power of pyramids. And people are searching for this kind of power that does not cost commitment. Manasseh was into all of this stuff. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh, we read, verse 10. But he would not hearken. He wouldn't listen to the Lord. The Lord warned him. He wouldn't listen. One of those who brought a warning to him was Isaiah the prophet. The man who had been such a godly influence on his father. Isaiah now was an old man, a man of God. He came and he also warned the king. In the book of Hebrews, in the 11th chapter of it, as it tells us of those men of faith of the Old Testament who accomplished so much for God through their faith, it tells us also of things that happened to those men, men of whom the world was not worthy. Some of them were put in prison. Some were killed. Some were cast unto the lions. Others, it said, were sawed in two. According to most Bible scholars, that reference to those sawed in two was a reference to Isaiah, the prophet, who when he came and rebuked Manasseh for the evil, Manasseh in his rage ordered him to be placed on a table, and they took a log saw and sawed him in two. Manasseh, an evil man who wouldn't listen to the warnings of God but continued in that evil path. And so we find that God will not always strive with man. In verse 11, wherefore the Lord brought upon him the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. He wouldn't listen to God, and so God allowed him to go into captivity. The Assyrian army came, captured Jerusalem, and carried him as a captive to Assyria. It says they took him among the thorns. That in the Hebrew is a hook or a ring. And from the archaeologist, we have found the pictures of captives being led before the Assyrian king. That hook or ring was put through the lower or upper lip. And then a chain was attached to that ring. And thus they would lead the captives with this leash, with this hook through the lip, upper or lower lip, this ring that was placed through it. And of course, with that, you're pretty sure to go where they are leading you, without letting them exert too much pressure. Took him through the thorns, became a captive, carried away to Assyria. Those who give themselves over to their own lust are always brought into captivity. If you get into watching pornography, there is a power that gets hold on your life and you become a slave. It begins to take a hold on you, a grip on you that you can't release. It's like a hook or a ring through your lip and you're bound by it. The fetters of chain bind a person. Give yourself over to promiscuous sex. You find that you become a slave to it. You become bound to it. Becomes just an obsession. Your mind and life becomes so totally corrupted because you've given yourself over to this form of sexual perversion, and now you become its slave. It holds you in its grip. He became a slave, a captive, because of his indulging himself in his own lust. But we find, verse 12, when he was in affliction, he sought Yahweh his God. He humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and he prayed unto him. When he was in his affliction, he turned to God. After all of his horrible abominations, after taking the nation downhill, if you were God, would you listen to this guy? If you were God, would you answer his prayer? I'll tell you, Manasseh can be thankful that I'm not God, because I surely wouldn't have listened to him. I'd have said, fellow, eat it. After all you've done, the damage that you've done, forget it, man. Oh, what this teaches us of the grace and the mercy of God. The compassions of the God that we serve. Even after all of this evil, this man was as wicked as any man who ever lived on the face of the earth. And yet, when he called upon God, God listened to him. God was entreated by him. God heard his prayer. Oh, the depths of the riches of both grace and mercy of God. Jesus said, whosoever will come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You know, it is interesting how that so often Satan lies to us and says, hey man, you've gone too far. You've crossed the line. God won't listen to you. You're through, man. You're dusted. You're history. And yet, there is forgiveness with our God. He is plenteous in mercy to those who will call upon him. And Manasseh called unto the Lord, and the Lord was entreated of him, heard his prayer and his supplication. Not only that, God brought him again to Jerusalem and restored the kingdom to him. Now that is true grace. God gave him back that which he lost as the result of his sin. You know, sin has its own self-destructive built-in system. Sin destroys. And sin often will rob us of some of the most valuable possessions that we have. I have so many times heard the story from the lips of some fellow of his folly in cheating on his wife. And now his wife has left him, has taken the children, and he's living in abject misery. That which was really the most important, valuable thing he had is now gone. His home, his wife, his family. He destroyed by his own folly, and now he wakes up. And oh, how he longs for the restoration of that which he had. And he says, pray, please pray. Somehow my wife will come back, and somehow I can assure her that I love her. And, you know, they go through the whole thing. I've heard that story so many times that I could write the script, the miserable script, of the damage, the destruction that sin can bring to a person's life. How it destroys. How it robs. Jesus said the enemy has come to rob, to kill, destroy. And I've seen it rob people of the treasures of life. Destroy that which is good and decent. And I've seen people whose lives are just a total wreck. Nothing. Wiped out. Because of their indulgences, and they're giving themselves over to their indulgences, becoming slaves to the drugs, or slaves to the alcohol, or slaves to the sex. And I've seen it destroy them. You've seen them. And yet, when Manasseh called unto the Lord not only forgave him, he restored to him that which he had lost as the result of his sinful folly. Gave him back the kingdom. There's a marvelous verse of scripture. The promise of God, he said, I will restore unto you the years that the caterpillar and the cankerworm have eaten. Sin eats like a cankerworm. It destroys. And yet God said, I'll restore those years. Oh, the grace and the mercy of God unto those who will but call upon him. Because the mercy and the grace of God, I expect one day to meet Manasseh in heaven. By the grace and the mercy of God, I expect to be there to meet him. For there is forgiveness with God. If you'll but call. Some of you today, like Manasseh, have turned against the God of your fathers. It is interesting to me that when Manasseh was in trouble, he knew who to pray to, didn't he? You know, people can live some pretty wild, reckless lives until they get into those life and death situations. Then, you know, those early experiences, childhood. I remember in Sunday school, oh, Lord, help me, you know. They know enough at that point to know that the gods of pleasure that they've been serving are no help. They know to turn to the true and the living God. Parents, take courage if your child has gone astray. If you see them today in those self-destructive ways, you see them, you know, following after folly, and your heart is just wrenched as you see what's happening to them. Take heart. If you laid the foundation in their early years, and of course Hezekiah only had 12 years to influence his young son, but if you've laid the foundation in those early years, it'll come back. In that hour of great need, they'll know on whom to call. Manasseh called, God heard him, God forgave him, God restored him. And I don't care what you're guilty of today, you don't touch Manasseh. I mean, that guy, it was far worse than you ever thought of being. And if God would forgive Manasseh, believe me, he'll forgive anybody. If God will forgive the things that Manasseh did, he'll forgive anything you have ever done. All you have to do is call. Shall we pray? Father, we're so grateful that you are a merciful, compassionate, forgiving God. And though we have in our folly done such horrible things against your law, yet, Lord, you forgive. You free us from the captivity of the enemy. You take the hooks out of our lips. You break the fetters that bound us. You set us free. But then, Lord, you restore to us that which was lost. Oh, who is a pardoning God like thee, who forgives those who call upon him, even as you forgave Manasseh? Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Isaiah the prophet, the one who was killed by Manasseh, said, speaking for the Lord, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as white as wool." All it takes is for you to turn from your sin unto the living God. Turn from your idols, your idolatry, your following after emptiness, following after the folly of crystals or enchantments, pyramids, channelers. Turn to the living God for guidance and for direction. Not to some mystical power of the position of the stars, but to God himself who created the stars. For he is your strength and he is your help, and there is forgiveness with him. I encourage you to go back to the prayer room this morning and find God's restoration, as he will restore to you the years that the cankerworm have eaten. May the Lord be with you, fill you with his love, guide you with his spirit, strengthen you as you serve him through Jesus our Lord.